Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Those joining us online there, a very, very wise man told me something this morning. He said there was a country church and it was a horrible winter storm. And one man showed up for the service. But he went ahead and he preached his message and he asked the man after the service, "What did you think of the message?" He says, "Well, I can tell you this. If one cow showed up to a farm, the farmer wouldn't dump the whole load of hay on him." Sorry, the truck's already here, guys. 1 John 4, if you have a Bible. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. We're going to look at this morning. If you need a Bible, raise a hand. We got some mushers coming down the aisle. We're going to continue our time in this series called 1 Month to Live. 1 Month to Live. I want to celebrate with you for just a minute. You remember Advent and Action that we do through the Christmas months, and I want to give you a little bit of an update on how much money was raised and just a reminder of what it was for. So I need a drum roll. That's a good drum roll. $67,000 for Advent and Action. Let me tell you, that will buy a van. That's what the money's going to be used for, is to buy transportation for the Genesis program through the New Life Center. So we're super excited about that. Thank you for your faithfulness and being a part of that. And thank you for your faithfulness and helping us in the year strong as well. What if you only had 1 month to live? Well, good morning to you too, Andy, right? For real, what if you only had 1 month to live? What would you change? What would you communicate? What would you do that needs to be done? What would you say that needs to be said? How would you listen differently? If then, why not now? If you would do it then why not now? If you would say it then why not now? As Jesus' time was near an end here on this earth, there's some principles that we could take away from his life. And last week we looked at the first one, to live passionately. Today we're going to talk about love completely. Last week we talked about what it means to live passionately, and I mentioned three things. I said to live passionately, you have to deal with your past. And I talked about how when we stare in the rearview mirror, it kind of paralyzes us. It keeps us from moving forward. Secondly, I talked about looking to the future and like a runner running a race with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And lastly, I talked about evaluating our present. The idea behind this series is to bring us up close and personal with the reality of life, to get us to look at what is most important and to encourage and challenge us to make some changes, maybe even just some slight tweaks in our life so it better aligns with God's priorities and plans. I've been asking the question, what would you do if you had 30 days? I think that if I only had 30 days to live, I would want to love completely. I would want to express my love for others like I never have before. I would want them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I love them deeply. I would not only tell them that I love them, but I would want to show them my love, demonstrate my love for them. I wouldn't want to leave this earth having my love for others in question. If you're following along, number one, for the love of God, verses 7 through 10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let me begin by just saying that if you and I truly only had 1 month to live, we would want to love completely the people in our lives. For us to love others completely, we first have to fully grasp the love that God has for us. It makes sense, I suppose. In verse 7, we are directed to love others with the love that comes from God, not with the love from you, but with the love that comes from God. Verse 7 answers most, if not all, of our relationship struggles. We're incapable of expressing a love that leads to a healthy, God-honoring relationship without his love when we try to do it on our own. The last three words at the end of verse 8, these words are life-changing if you allow them to be. The three words are God is love. Say that with me. God is love. Did anybody say it? Say it again. God is love. Such a simple message. Probably the most simple message in the entire Bible, and yet the most profound. It will not only change your perspective on how you are loved by God, but also on how you love. God is love. You and I love. There's a difference. You see the difference. It is extremely important that we get a clear and accurate understanding of these three words. Otherwise, we run the danger of making God out to be something completely different by defining him according to our understanding and definition of love. Let me explain that. Each person in this room has a different story, various experiences and understanding of what it means to love and to be loved. We all were raised in various environments. We all have had different life experiences and have been in different relationships. Do you see the problem? Each of us has a different picture in our head of what love is. And because of that, we all have a different picture of who God is according to our own understanding of love. If we're not careful, he becomes to us what we believe about love. We cannot squeeze God into our limited understanding of what love is and walk away as though we think we understand who God is. If we try and fit God into our understanding of love, we have missed completely the power behind those three words, God is love. Had the text read, God is the love, we would conclude that love is simply a quality which God possesses, among many others. But because the text reads God is love, we must interpret it that way. God does not just simply possess love as a character trait. It is his very nature. When studying the text more deeply, it also can be noted that because of the structure of the sentence, the statement cannot be reversed. We cannot reverse the statement God is love to say love is God, because then we would be saying that love defines God. And that's what I'm afraid of that we attempt to do too often. We take our understanding of love and try to define God, when in fact the statement, God is love, says something completely different. God is love says that God defines love, and it eliminates the possibility that love defines God. You've heard it said that love is a choice, and that it is. We get to choose whether or not to love and to what degree we will love other people. Every day I have a choice as to whether I'm going to love Lori. Every day I have a choice as to whether or not I'm going to love my kids and what degree. Just like you, every day we have to choose who we're going to love and what level of love are we going to express to them. God has given us the freedom and the ability to choose love. The issue is not if, but how. We are commanded to love. It's how we do it that makes a difference. Aren't you glad that God chose to love you? You glad? Isn't it awesome to think every morning when you wake up, God chooses to love you? What if I told you that God never chose to love you? What if I told you that God doesn't wake up every morning and he chooses to love you? God did not choose to love you. If God can choose to love you, then you know what that means, right? He can choose to unlove you. He loves you and me not because he chooses to, but because he is love. It is his nature. It's the essence of who he is. He loves us because he cannot help but love us. It is his nature, the essence of who he is. He cannot cease being who he is. He cannot not love you. There's a drastic difference between choosing to love and being loved. There's only one who does not choose to love, and that is God. Love is not a choice for him because he is love. Everything about God starts and ends with his amazing truth. All of God's thoughts and actions flow out of this one truth about who God is, that God is love. You can't choose or unchoose something that is you. You can't cease to be something that you are. People think to themselves, what do I have to do or what do I have to change to get God to love me? There is nothing you can do or change to get God to love you any more or any less than he already does. His love is complete. He can't love you any more or any less. He loves you even when you're being difficult to love. This may be a revelation to you, but you are not always the easiest person to love. You're selfish, you're stubborn, you're proud, you're insistent, you're moody, you're grouchy. And I'm only saying that because of what your spouse told me. But seriously, even when we are being unlovely, while other people's love may come and it may go and it's conditional based on what we do or what we don't do, you can't get God to stop loving you. This morning as I was going over the message, a couple more things came to my mind. Let's think about this for just a minute. We say God's love is unconditional, which means there's no strings attached. That's what we say, because that's what we've been taught. But when hard things happen to us in this life, or we watch the news and we see these destructive wildfires in California, we're forced to put our theology to the test. We certainly are capable of saying God's love is unconditional, but sometimes we live like it's not. In our limited understanding, we struggle to reconcile God being love and experience some of the things in this life. I want to believe that God is love, but holy cow, what do I tell someone who comes to me and says, I have 2 months to live? What do I say to a family who wants to have a baby so badly, but they can't? How do I reconcile that God is love and tell someone who believed that they had this amazing marriage and nothing was wrong, only to find out that their spouse has been having an affair? What about when your world is rocked from an unexpected death? Before you can ever fully believe those three words, God is love, you must first settle the issue of hard and bad things that can happen in this life. If we think that when hard or bad things happen, God's love is less or that it's not at all, then there's no other choice than to believe we must be the reason. Nothing in this life, good or bad, can be used as criteria in determining God's love, because he is love. Verses 9 and 10, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The essence of God's love is powerfully demonstrated through the gift of sending Jesus Christ to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. The cross was God exposing his true self. Why is this important? Because if he could choose to love us, then that means there had to be reasons as to why he chose to love us. So if it was a choice for God, there had to be reasons. Because somehow we want his affection towards us. Because somehow he created us, he must love us. Because he felt sorry for us, because he needs us. What is it that would make God love us? His compassion, his empathy? I don't know what you're thinking at this point, but I am glad that love is not a choice for God. Because I have given God every reason to not love me. Let me share with you why this is my opinion, and it's so life-changing. If God doesn't choose to love me, but loves me because he is love, it means that everything that God does or doesn't do in my life is motivated out of love. Everything in your life is motivated from God's love. It means that there's absolutely no room for error or mistake on his part. It means that his love cannot increase or decrease. It's always the same. It takes the risk factor out of playing a relationship with him, and therefore would allow me the ability to completely give myself over to him without fear. It means my entire life, everything I have ever done, laid out before him. Not having to worry about guilt, not having to worry about shame, knowing that he will love me nonetheless. God is love. It's simple, but it's profound. Imagine God unable to choose or not choose love, but is in fact, it's just who he is. Just imagine that again. Then even his justice would flow from his love. There would be no favoritism. He would take no sides. His love is no longer defined by what he does and what he gives. He doesn't have an unloving bone in his body. If all else in this life is stripped away, if all else is lost, God's love remains. Romans 8 tells us that. Neither height nor depth, right? Neither angels or principalities. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It's a game changer. Think about life from the angle that God did not choose to love, but the fact that he is love. When I was being ordained, sitting across the table from 10 people drilling me with theological questions for 6 hours, one of the questions that came up was election, the topic of election. And I shared openly my struggle with one piece of it, at least, is irresistible grace. That those who are elected have no choice but to become a child of God's. They cannot resist God's choosing them. One of the council members asked me if I was familiar with the varying degrees of God's love. I said, yes, but I don't agree with it. For there to be varying degrees of God's love, more for those that he chose and less for those he didn't choose, means he is not love, but rather he chooses to love. So do I believe God's love loves some more than others? Absolutely not. His love does vary. Now hear me, his love does vary, but not in a theological sense. It varies based on how we receive it. How much are you willing to allow yourself to be loved by God? That's the difference. You have not lived until you allow yourself to be loved by God. You cannot love others. Listen, you cannot love others completely until you've allowed yourself to be loved completely. If we had 1 month to live, we would want to love completely. To love completely, you first have to be loved completely. Please. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot explain what you do not know. Have you ever allowed yourself to be loved completely by God? When you allow yourself to be loved completely by God, you will radiate God from your face and from your life. You will have confidence that can be found nowhere else. You will live with a sense of hope. You will experience peace. You will find contentment. You will be okay with who God made you and how God made you. You will live with a clear sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. You will live free. All of that is found as you allow God to love you completely. While the evil one is out to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus came to give life and to give it an abundant life. The more you allow yourself to be loved by God, the more life you will truly live. The day a person begins a relationship with Jesus, in other words, that day that they surrender their life to him as Savior, the love of God is overwhelming in that day. I think of yesterday, I just officiated a wedding yesterday afternoon, and I look at this couple as they stare into each other's eyes. Like, love is to the max, right? When we come to Christ, that very day that we surrender our life, like, man, God's love is off the chart. We're experiencing the presence of his love. It's overwhelming. And that moment is so complete. God reaching out to you, saving you, forgiving you, drawing you. It's in that moment that you realize that he never gave up on you and that you are worth it. It's really difficult to look at the cross and still question God's love. So while God can never stop loving us, I believe we have a way of creating distance from God so we don't have to be vulnerable, so we don't have to have our flaws exposed. There comes a point, whether we're talking about human love or God's love for us, where we decide just how much we will allow ourselves to be loved. Ah, how much are you willing to allow yourself to be loved? Because receiving love is risky. Giving love is risky. If not, then why is it that we live with so many fears, so many worries, so many insecurities, this false thinking and stress, all of which are us just thinking about our future with no God? I want to say that again. Giving love is risky. Receiving love is risky. If not, then why is it that we live with so many fears and worries and insecurities and false thinking and stress, all of which are us just thinking about our future without God? I believe that when we open ourselves up and allow God to love us completely, not just at the cross, this public announcement of his love for all mankind, I believe we will be better. We better understand some of the personal struggles that we have. We struggle with many things, not because God doesn't love us, but because we are choosing to not allow ourselves to be loved. For a moment, and for the purpose of illustrating what I'm talking about, would you do this with me? Just for a minute. I want you to imagine yourself in the presence of God. Face to face, saying to God, tell me what you think of me. Just imagine that. And can you imagine just allowing him to love you completely? The way that you love others is an indicator of the depth of your understanding of his love for you. Did you catch that? The way that you love others is an indicator of the depth of your understanding of God's love for you. You cannot surpass it. Knowing that God is love and allowing God to love us completely first drastically changes the way that we love others completely. Secondly, verses 11 and 12, for the love of others. The scripture goes on and says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So there are two aspects of loving completely, being loved by God and giving God's love. Notice that love, it is that you first receive and then you give, as I was just talking about. If we choose to love others with any kind of love other than God's love, we will most likely also unchoose to love them. It is a head scratcher when you hear people say, well, I fell out of love. What does that mean? We cannot love others completely with any love other than God's love. You cannot give what you do not know, have not experienced. You cannot love others the way the scripture calls us to love unless you're first willing to be loved. With the idea of 1 month to live, I want to slowly read the characteristics of love out of 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to think about your relationships, whether that's your spouse or your kids or people you work with or your family members or whoever it is. Just kind of in the realm of relationships, with 1 month to live in mind, I want you to listen to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And the last one's a doozy. It keeps no record of wrongs. I think if we had 1 month to live, we would have some work to do. To love completely is to love with no barriers, to love by truly being more concerned for the other person than you are for yourself. To love them for the person God created them to be, to love uninhibited by insecurities and fear and lack of trust, to love with pure motives and vulnerability, to love with security and safety, to love by holding nothing back. That's how we're to love completely. Who here loves perfectly? No one. You do not have the capacity. I do not have the capacity or ability on our own to carry out the ability to love completely. God often loves others through you. And often, people are confused about God's love because of the way that we treat them. Maybe this will be a revelation to some of you as you think about those people whom you're struggling to love. When we have to try and love people through a whole mess of trust issues, through insecurities and fears and failures, then it's no wonder why so many people feel unloved. When God's love lacks nothing. When we allow ourselves to first be loved completely by God and then become a conduit through which God loves others through us, it will give us the ability to endure rejection, the ability to overlook and forgive, the ability to love our enemies, the ability to suffer long. Jesus modeled for us a perfect love. When we allow ourselves to be loved by God and then choose to live in God's love, we just live exposing God's love to one another. If you had 1 month to live, who would you make sure knew how much you loved them? With who would you pursue reconciliation? With whom would you forgive? Let me leave you with this one thing. It's John 13, 34 and 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples.